Amen. Hey, welcome to church, everyone, as you're coming in or you're already in or maybe you're joining us online. If you're in the sanctuary here with us, would you stand if you are able? We are going to go over our vision statement as a church and then go right into our time of worship this morning. So would you read this with me? We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Guys, this is a place where we can come and just say we don't have it all together. None of us do, but we are seeking after God, and His Spirit gives us grace and truth, and it's absolutely amazing. So welcome, welcome. We are going to pray, and then we are going to sing some praise because God is worthy of every single breath that we take. So we bring songs to Him and worship Him. So Lord, thank You so much for all that You've done. We come into this place to find rest. We come in this place to worship You. God, we come into this place to just encounter all that You are, the King of the universe, the Creator of all things, including us. And we just want to worship You this morning. So we invite You here. Come and be with us as we sing to You. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's worship.
Within Your presence, I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like wanna speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is Your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness. For every enemy, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Yeah.
over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Lock eyes with you, I see my reflection. When I lock eyes with you, I feel your affection. I love to get lost in you, 'cause you're my obsession. When I lock eyes with you,
Luke chapter 7, we read a story, starts verse 36, says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. And the Pharisee was judging her and saying, and judging Jesus and saying, you know, if Jesus were really a prophet, or he would know this immoral woman is doing this thing, and this is this very inappropriate act. But what Jesus clarified in the rest of the story is that this is pure worship. This woman has sinned a lot, and she's been forgiven a lot, so she loves a lot. And she doesn't care about how appropriate her worship of me is. She's just giving her all to me in worship because she's been forgiven. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've been forgiven a lot. So this next song is just called Pure, and it's just pure worship. It's just saying, God, thank you so much for all the grace in my life. You've forgiven me much, so I will give you my worship, my pure offering to you. So let's sing it together.
Come in back to just be.
not for anything that we could gain. We don't owe you anything, God. Or you don't owe us anything. We owe you everything. So we bring our praise. We bring our worship. Like that expensive fragrance that the woman poured on your feet. May our praise be a blessing to you. You deserve it all. So we bring it to you. And Lord, we join together in prayer over the rest of our time this morning that you would move in power and grace and truth in our hearts and in our lives. Open up our hearts to hear from you. Bless this time that we have to spend with each other and spend with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and grab a seat. We are going to watch our Sunday morning news.
Good morning, CCC family. I'm your youth pastor, Pastor Owen, and I would just like to say, welcome to church. So good to see you. If this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back into the welcome desk, you'll be given a mug with some awesome gifts inside. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you because you are here on purpose for a purpose. But let's get into the announcements. So coming up on May 17th, it will be our graduation Sunday. In this service, we will be recognizing the incredible accomplishment of graduating high school. And we just, as a church body, want to come together and just congratulate you to all the seniors in the room, just to encourage you and empower you to step into this next chapter in your life. Also, coming up on May 7th will be our National Day of Prayer. That will be here at the church from 5:30 to 6:30. There will be a light dinner. This is optional. You don't need to come. But if you just like to come to engage in fellowship and have some yummy meal, that will be from 5:30 to 6:30. And then at 6:30 to 7:30, we will be rotating down to the sanctuary for an hour of prayer where we can just come together as a church to pray for our church, to pray for our community, to pray for our country, and to pray for the world, because there's power in prayer. And we just want to come together as our church and just pray for God to intervene in everything that's going on around us. Also, we have a lot going on for our kids. First of all, we have our kids camp. That will be this summer. Our kids camp is going to be June 17th through the 20th. Our middle school camp will be August 3rd through the 7th. And then high school camp will be July 27th through the 31st. So if you have a kid, get them signed up for camp. Also on May 6th, that's coming up. That's real soon. That's this Wednesday. May 6th, we're doing our Kids Last Wednesday Bash and our Back to Summer Bash for our youth. This will be the last week for our kids to meet through summer. And then May 6th is just our youth group is going to be slingshotting because we will be meeting through the summer. So there's so much going on. Get involved. In Luke 2:52, it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Let that be our prayer for 2026, to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Love you guys. Let's have a great Sunday.
Hi, this is Don Larson. And as we mentioned at the annual meeting in June, Pastor Steve is going on a sabbatical. Now, a sabbatical is not a vacation. It is not only a continuing education. It's a needed break from the long hours, high pressure, personal sacrifice, and the 24-hour nature of pastoral ministry. It's a time for prayer, rest, continue education, and travel. A pastoral sabbatical provides the pastor with opportunities to invest in research that time would not normally allow. Now, our district recommends that a pastor take a sabbatical every 10 years. Well, this is our pastor's 30th year, and we'd like to see him recharged and come back for another 30 years. So we've put together an info sheet that's available in the gathering grounds should you want to pick that up and have some questions. Also, wanted to let you know that every week during our prayer time, Pastor's going to put together a video. He'll lead us in prayer during the prayer time, and maybe he'll share with us what he's learning and how he's doing and that type of thing. So I'd like to ask you to keep Pastor Steve at the top of your prayer list, keep the staff at the top of the prayer list, so that in the fall, when Pastor comes back, we're all moving forward. We're moving forward towards the high calling that God has for our church to impact our families, to impact our community, and to impact our world for the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. In a moment, we're going to invite you to greet one another. Now, this is actually grounded in an ancient Christian practice. Some of you have heard this called passing the peace, and it actually comes from when the resurrected Christ greeted the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And the significance of this is that during the worship time, we receive peace and grace, and now we share it with others. So would you please stand and pass the peace and greet those around you and welcome them? Can we make sure So we've been in a series where we've been talking about hopeful endurance, and we've been saying that the essence of hopeful endurance is the image of a plant that continues to grow even in the midst of difficult circumstances. We've said imagine a cactus that continues to grow in the desert of the Mojave Desert. And you know, today is Confirmation Sunday, and we're going to be confirming students in our second service. And if there is one message that I could get across to the students, those that are graduating, those that are confirming, you know, obviously the first message would be to connect with the Lord. But the second message is just the power of perseverance. Because I know in my own life, there's been so many times where, you know, you're just tempted to quit. You're tempted to give up. And if I could just share one thing with those students, I would talk about the power of perseverance. And that's what we're actually talking about in this passage. Now, some of you may be out there today and you're thinking, well, Steve, that's easy for you to say. You're not dealing with the chronic pain that I'm in. You know, a while back, you say I was diagnosed with this chronic illness, and it seems to just be like this dark cloud that hovers over me. Or some of you are, it's a relationship, and there's this relationship wedge, and you were once so close, but now you've become so distant. And you're like, Steve, I asked God to heal this. I asked God to fix it, and he hasn't. It's almost as if I've asked God to fix this, and he has said no. For some of us, it's a mental health struggle, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Some of us, maybe it's finances. But where do you look for hope when you go through a difficult time? When it seems like you've asked God to fix something, and his answer appears to be no. Well, to answer that, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians. And this is the second letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And he probably wrote this letter around AD 56. And the overall purpose of the letter is to expose deceitful workers and for Paul to defend his apostolic authority. So we're going to read that, and I want you to notice the screen today, this picture, and this is meant to depict hopeful endurance. It's this plant growing in spite of a difficult circumstance. But Paul says, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Now this is Paul, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like this, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Now, I want you to notice that Paul experienced these amazing revelations, these amazing visions from the Lord. And then he says something next that might surprise us. Verse 7, it says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." So Paul's like, I had these amazing revelations. I had these amazing visions from the Lord. But to keep me humble, God allowed this thorn of the flesh to keep me from becoming proud. So the question becomes, what was that thorn? Well, most scholars think it was one of three things. Many believe it was a physical ailment. I've heard the idea of maybe it was poor eyesight. Others think maybe it was a mental ailment. Maybe it was anxiety. In fact, in Philippians, Paul says, "Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety." Do you notice how Paul talks about his anxiety there? So maybe his thorn in the flesh was a mental ailment. And then others believe that it was his enemies, the people who opposed him. So we're not quite sure what the thorn in the flesh was, but here's what we do know about it. It was a chronic burden. It wasn't something that came and went away. It was something that he continually had to wrestle with. In fact, at times it was so bad that it kept him from working. One scholar wrote, "The precise nature of it has been concealed, perhaps that all afflicted ones may be encouraged and helped by Paul's unnamed yet painful experience." In other words, if you are wrestling with an ongoing physical ailment, mental ailment, an ongoing struggle with another person, Paul can say to you, "I've been there." And Paul understands what that's like. Okay, so Paul had this thorn in the flesh, this ongoing burden. And he prayed that God would deliver it from him. In fact, he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" In other words, not once, not twice, but three times, Paul's like, "God, heal me. God, deliver me." And God didn't. You say, well, God didn't answer his prayer, did he? Well, let me suggest a different interpretation. What if God answered his prayer, just not in the way he wanted him to? Years ago, I remember learning that God always answers our prayers. He just answers them in one of four ways. Yes, no, wait, and grow. So we pray, and sometimes God says, "Yes, you can have that." Sometimes God says, "No, I know what's best for you. That's not best for you long term." Sometimes he says, "Wait." In other words, it's just not the right time. But sometimes he says, "I'm using this situation to grow you." And I think that in response to Paul's prayer, God says, "Paul, grow." In other words, I'm going to use this thorn to keep you humble, to grow the fruit of humility in your life so that you realize that my grace is sufficient for you. Is it possible that for some of us, you've been praying something and you think, well, God hasn't answered my prayer, but what if he has? It's just not the way you wanted it to be answered. And maybe it's to start praying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." You know, as I've been reflecting on this passage, the phrase that really stands out to me is, "My grace is sufficient for you." Would you say that with me? "My grace is sufficient for you." Think about that. "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace isn't sufficient for you." So Paul doesn't get healed, but instead God says, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you." My grace is sufficient for you. Now, what is grace? Well, the classic definition is that grace is unmerited favor. And another definition I've discovered is that grace is God doing in you and for you what you can't do for yourself. And here's the amazing truth. Even in our worst moments, God's grace is sufficient. Maybe you're out there and you're wrestling with a physical ailment. I think God's message to you today would be, my grace is sufficient. Maybe you're wrestling with a mental ailment. I think God's message to you would be, my grace is sufficient. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction, a financial struggle. Maybe the loss of a loved one. I think God's message to you today would be, my grace is sufficient. So here's the question. Will we trust that God's grace is sufficient? Could you imagine if we all left here today with a new measure of faith in our hearts that, yes, I have this thorn, I'm facing this difficulty at times, it's very overwhelming, but God's grace is sufficient? Now, we didn't say his grace might be sufficient. His grace could be, there's a good probability, but rather, his grace is sufficient. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Repeat after me. God's grace is sufficient. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's grace is sufficient. Now, there was a lady named Emma Petryska, and she was the wife of a Polish nobleman, and her life was basically a long string of disappointments and frustrations. But the amazing thing is how she responded to these things. She responded with hopeful endurance. I'm sure there were times when she was like, Lord, why is this happening? I'm sure there were times, those dark nights of the soul, when she's like, Lord, why? Why is this happening? But here's what her biographer said about her. She made magnificent bouquets out of the refusals of God. She made magnificent bouquets out of the refusals of God. In other words, because of God's grace, she was able to transform something disappointing into something meaningful, even beautiful. Could you imagine if that was our attitude? Like, Lord, this hurts. I don't like it. It's challenging. But, Lord, how do you want to turn this into something meaningful and beautiful for your glory? You know, I think one of the things when it comes to our thorns is that our thorns are often our credentials to help other people. You know, let's just say you're wrestling in your marriage. Who do you want to talk to? Do you want to talk to someone who has the perfect marriage? It's like, well, I thank God we haven't argued in 25 years. You know, do you want to talk to someone like that? No, you want to talk to someone who's been there, someone who can say, yes, I've wrestled in my marriage, but God's grace has helped me, right? I mean, who do you want to talk to if you have a prodigal child? Do you want to talk to someone who has perfect kids? You know, my kids are perfect. They never went away from the Lord. They're just, or do you, no, you want to talk to someone whose kids have maybe walked away from the Lord but come back. You want to talk to someone who can say these magical words, I've been there. And what if the very thing that you're most ashamed of is the very thing God wants to use to glorify his name? See, our thorns, and if we respond to them properly, are often our credentials for helping others. So let's keep reading. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I want us to be reminded of what we said earlier. Paul had seen these amazing revelations. Paul had seen these amazing visions from God. And then he does something that's almost counterintuitive. He says, I'm not going to boast in those things. I'm not going to boast in my heavenly visions. I'm not going to boast in those divine encounters. I'm not going to boast in those spiritual, supernatural things. But rather, I'm going to boast in my thorn. I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm going to boast in my chronic burden. Why? So that, in order that, such that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. So when I started out pastoring about 30 years ago, I had kind of this vision that to be the pastor, I had to project that I had the perfect family, the perfect marriage, and a booming voice like James Earl Jones. Now, since I didn't have any of that, I'm like, wow, I'm really in trouble. But I tried to, at first, project this perfect pastor image. And it seemed like the more I did that, the more a wall was put up between me and others. Well, then, back in 2002, I hit rock bottom. I went through my depression experience. And I remember at that time, just wrestling with the question, do I let the church know how I'm actually doing or do I keep pretending? And I sensed the Lord say to me, Steve, victory comes from vulnerability. So I decided to share how I was actually doing. I became vulnerable. And little did I know that that was one of the best decisions I ever made because it became the bedrock of my ministry. Fast. Psychologist Joan Bariska said, and I quote, vulnerability, being imperfect, is what makes us human, authentic, and lovable. And I no longer saw my goal as getting up here and acting like I'm perfect, but rather getting up here and saying, I'm in process. And every day, I'm trying to become more like Jesus, but I am human, so I fall. So don't put me on a pedestal, put me on your prayer list. And I pray that I'm on your prayer list because I really need it. And I started to share my marriage struggles with you. I started to share my mental health struggles. I started to share my struggles with my dogs and all that stuff. And here's what I discovered. It seemed like there was an anointing on that. It seemed as if when I would talk about those things, people were deeply impacted. And what I realized is that God was teaching me what we're learning today. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that, in order that, such that, the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's the story of my life, is that through boasting about my weaknesses, the power of Christ has worked through me. Now, in the book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader, Peter Scascaro writes that weakness is not an obstacle to leadership, but a part of the calling of leadership. He says, quote, leadership is not built on strength, competence, or image management alone. In fact, God often does some of his deepest work through a leader's limitation, wounds, and dependency. Now watch this. Weakness becomes the place where pride is broken and where genuine reliance on God develops. Notice that last part. Weakness becomes the place where pride is broken and where genuine reliance on God develops. He connects with leaders, and he said leaders must accept their limits instead of denying them. They need to stop pretending to be more together than they are. They need to allow God's power to be revealed in areas where they feel insufficient, and lead out of honesty rather than performance. Have you ever considered the fact that the very thing maybe you're afraid of, the very thing that you're trying to hide, may be the very thing that God wants to use for his glory? That maybe your greatest weakness is your greatest platform for God to work through? So let's keep reading. Now, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And notice very carefully about being content in our weakness for the sake of Christ. for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. In other words, our thorns that we're wrestling with, they may be uncomfortable. They may be painful. They may be discouraging. But is it possible that they can be used for the sake of Christ? You say, Steve, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know about you, but some of the people that have impacted me the most are people who have wrestled with incredible challenges, yet there's a peace. There's a contempt. I know of people over the years as a pastor that they've faced death, and yet they still trust Christ. There's a contentment in their heart. And it's like, wow, what a great testimony. Have you ever considered the fact that your thorn and how you respond to it may be the greatest sermon you ever preach? So how do we have that kind of contentment? Well, look at this verse. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, when I first read this verse, I kind of struggled with it. It kind of, to me, seemed kind of like self-reliant. Then I am strong. You know, kind of reminded me of rugged individualism. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I, me, self. But then I notice, okay, so the first phrase, but when I'm weak, then I am strong. And in that second sentence, the word I am, those words, stood out to me. And then my mind went back to Exodus 3:14, where God said to Moses, I am who I am. And this is what you're to say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. So I am is a word for God that represents his eternal, self-existent, unchanging, always present way. And that's when it struck me. And here's how I now read this verse. For when I am weak, then I am is strong. When I am weak, Steve Larson, then I am, the great I am, is strong through me. William MacDonald said, it's when we're conscious of our own weakness and nothingness that we must depend on the power of God. It's when we are thus cast on him in complete dependence that his power is manifested to us and we are truly strong. So in the 1980s, scientists built this giant greenhouse called Biosphere 2, and they wanted to see if humans could live in a closed environment to prepare for life in space. And they gave the plants everything they needed. Perfect soil, plenty of water, bright sunlight. And at first, the trees really grew. But then something strange happened. The trees started to fall over. And the researchers were confused. The trees didn't have bugs or diseases. The trees were healthy. But then they figured out what was missing. And you won't believe this. What was missing? Wind. See, in the real world, wind pushes against the trees. And to stay upright, trees have to grow deep roots and strong wood. This makes them tough. But inside the greenhouse, the air was too still. And because the trees never had to fight the wind, they stayed weak. They grew so tall that they eventually collapsed under their own weight. See, without a struggle, the trees couldn't build the strength they needed to survive. Is it possible that God has allowed the thorns in our lives, the wind, so that we'll lean into the grace of God and sink our roots deep into the Lord and be able to say with confidence, when I'm weak, I am is strong, and his strength is sufficient. Let us pray. Lord, I pray for anyone today that is wrestling with a thorn in the flesh, whether that's a physical ailment, a mental ailment, an an enemy, whatever it is, Lord God. Lord, I do believe you can heal, you can remove, you can do all those things. So we want to stay open to that possibility. But also, Lord, remind us that your grace is sufficient. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to represent you well by having a peace and a contentment, even in the midst of the storm. God, I just pray that those that are battling their thorn today would leave with a new sense of faith, a confidence that realizes that your grace is sufficient. God, I just pray that you would help them to trust you with all of their heart, all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength. God, thank you that when we are weak, God, help us to boast in our weakness, not boast in our strengths, but boast in our weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Lord, thank you for this church, that it's a safe place for people to be honest about their struggles. And thank you that there's a healing that comes with that. And God, I just pray that your grace would be sufficient for all of us, that we would lean into that, that we would be strong in you. Well, today is Communion Sunday, and communion is a powerful symbol for every believer. It reminds us of the night in Egypt when God's people were saved by the blood of the Lamb. It also honors Jesus' Last Supper, where he started a new promise through his blood and body. And this meal also gives us a small taste of the great feast waiting for us in heaven. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in your great mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our redemption. So we draw near in humility to remember his suffering and death. By your word and spirit, make this bread and cup meaningful to us and strengthen our faith as we have fellowship with you. So in a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come forward to partake of the elements. We're putting on the screen a diagram of how to do that. For those of us who are just kind of waiting around, we're going to put a verse on the screen. It's Psalms 32, 3 through 5. And it says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, saying, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the guilt of my sin." So during this this heavenly moment, as people are coming forward to get their elements, as you're waiting, I want to encourage you to just meditate on that verse and ask the Lord for forgiveness and be honest with him about your struggles and ask him to give you his grace. And this is a time you can also pray for the sins of your family, the sins of your community. So this is a deeply spiritual moment. So let's be in a spirit of confession and prayer as we do that. Everyone will come forward, get the elements. If you're a believer, that's the requirement is of communion, is that you're a genuine born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you come back and then we'll partake of the elements together.
Again.
but to get lost in you. You're my obsession when I lock eyes with you. All I want is you. All I see.
Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. Supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup shows the new agreement with God that is sealed in my blood. Every time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the drink together. Gracious God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place. Lord, we trust again in the work Jesus finished for us on the cross, which is the only way we are saved. Amen. Now, worship team, I want to do a little pivot here. When we're collecting the offering, do this song again, okay? Then once I ask them to stand, do the next song, okay? Thank you. All right, so we are going to do the offering now. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "Do you remember the generosity of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all? He was rich beyond our telling, yet he became poor for your sake, so that his poverty might make you rich." Notice the generosity of Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the amazing generosity of Jesus, who gave up the riches of heaven to become poor for our sake. Help us to remember how he made us spiritually wealthy as we now give our own offerings back to your church. Please use these gifts to share your love with others, just as you have shared your grace with us. So we're going to be putting on the screen some ways that you can give digitally, and then the ushers will come in a few moments to receive your tithes and offerings. I want to invite you to stay seated until all the bags are passed. And then I will have a stand and we'll do the next song. So let us now worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings.
Coming like a fire, coming like a flood. I don't care what it looks like, 'cause I'm so in love. So coming like a fire, coming like a flood. Like, 'cause I'm so in love. Coming like a fire, coming like a flood. I don't care what it looks like, 'cause I'm so in love. So coming like a fire, coming like a flood. I don't care what it looks like, 'cause I'm so in love. Oh. Just you.
stand with me and let us remember what we talked about today. Whatever thorn you're facing, maybe it's a physical ailment, a mental ailment, a relationship, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? All right, let's sing this song together.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along.
So remember.
So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me.
One more time, let's sing it. Your grace.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Give the Lord a round of applause today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that your grace is sufficient. And may we leave here today with a renewed sense of faith in your amazing grace. And remind us, God, that when we're weak, if we depend on you, you are strong through us. We're going to have friends up here to pray with you. If you would like someone to pray with you, thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Have a great week.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough.